You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 98, The Importance of Stories. This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be. You always wonder.
Hey,
sorry, I was chatting. Welcome back to episode 98, The Importance of Stories.
Yes.
We're excited to share first an awesome new review. You guys are beautiful people.
Karen is getting choked up every time
she
reads.
I'm seriously like a crybaby or something, but it touches me. So it just, I think,
oh my gosh,
you're like really weepy. What's wrong with me? I think it's just beautiful to know that what we're doing is meaning something to people. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us and letting us know the things that it's doing for your families, because you guys are amazing people, good mamas. Anyway, this one is from StellaGirl05, and she says, I just came upon your podcast recently. I'm a new homeschooler. This year, I've been rethinking my decision of homeschooling my three boys because my youngest, 6 years, has no desire to learn the alphabet and fights his reading lessons. Surely he'll fall behind, and surely a teacher can do better. But I came across your episode where you emphasized that kids learn at their own pace and can't fall behind when they're blazing their own trail. A powerful statement that was an answer to my prayers about whether I stick with it or give up. Thank you, ladies. Keep doing what you're doing in helping us lost mamas.
That was very tender.
Thank you, Stella girl. It was beautiful. And yeah, you see me crying every week if you're watching on YouTube. I'm sorry. But you guys are touching my hearts too. So thank you for your kind words.
Yeah. Well, we are diving in today and talking about the importance of stories.
Yes. And I love this topic. I think it's so great.
So in Well-Educated Heart, Marlene has Mother's University. Mm-hmm. And storytelling was the topic for February.
The month of February, yeah.
And
so we're both learning about that right now.
Yes. Well, I think this episode actually gets released in March. So we did learn about it.
We'll be done with it by the time you guys hear it, but that's okay. Still good stuff to read.
Yes, but I wanted to let you guys know, part of in my membership, I do a Mother's University coaching call where I dive in and we did on storytelling, and then we can do some coaching about it. Like, I don't like this. This is stupid, or this, like whatever your mm-hmm. worries and your thoughts are with that. And we can totally dive into it. So if that's something you're like, oh, I need it just for that, you can be in my membership and get on all those calls for just $35 a month.
Yeah.
Like, it's so worth it.
She's amazing, you guys. So a couple of tips just diving in here. I remember you talking about a book called Story Worthy.
Yes.
You want to share about that?
Oh, I just spaced his name. Matthew Dix, I want to say.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I want to say it's
Matthew Dix. I heard him on another podcast, and then I went and read his book. It's because I like to binge into things when I really enjoy something.
I do that.
Yeah. And like went and watched some of his YouTube stuff, read his book. And he talked about how he creates story and to make something story worthy and like the whole process and the beautiful process of creating a story. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome when you read his book, he shares a few stories with you and you will cry. Like, you're crying at our reviews. You will definitely cry with
Hallmark
some of these
commercials,
stories.
Coffee commercials. I mean, gosh, you guys, I'm a baby.
Yeah. But I love it. He gives a practical application of how to create a good story. Because sometimes like you read a story, but it's like, oh, okay, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
So it was actually when my class before COVID canceled our co-op. That was my class I was teaching.
Yeah.
It was his book of how do a story. So one of the things he has you do is write down something each day that could become a story. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because as I was teaching the storytelling class in my membership, I was like, what just happened? Oh, well, Saturday night, I went to pick up my husband from the airport. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so funny. And it totally erupted because I love being punctual and on mm-hmm. time, except for when I pick up my husband from the airport. I don't know why, but I am late every single time.
That's funny.
I get distracted and dilly-dally. And so he calls like, baby, I've landed. Come get me. And I was like, I haven't even left the house. So I'm like, let's go. And then George is like, well, I want to come, right? So he's crying. I'm hurrying and getting clothes on him. I'm getting him buckled in. And I go zooming down the road and I hit a pothole so hard I explode his tire.
Now
I'm like, oh my gosh. Right. So anyways, huge, long, funny story. But like, I had forgot that even happened. Like, this could be this comical story of how many times I've forgotten him at the airport, popping his tire, what came of it and all this stuff. And so just having these simple lines that we go through our days and we're like, our life's boring. Yeah. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of exciting to see, like, no, the craziest thing happened. Like, not only was I late, but then I exploded his car. It's his fancy car. So it's like beeping at me, like, please pull over, please pull over. I was like, get out of my business. Like, don't tell me what to do. His book is really great. That's a really fun suggestion in there. And I know in Well Educated Heart, she actually has weekly suggestions of things to write your own story of, like, maybe how you met your husband or a childbirth. I don't remember what all of them were.
Yeah.
It's a 52-week thing.
That's cool. I like that a lot because we don't often write our own stories down for our families.
No.
I have another book recommendation, and this is on the business side of things, but I love it. It's called Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. And what I love about this is he teaches you how to use stories to connect with your audience. And I just think that that's a beautiful thing. So if you are running a business or not, you can use it in the same ways where storytelling helps you to connect with people and helps them to understand you and just relate to you. And so it's kind of a cool thing to look up if you have interest in that also. But teaching with stories is what we want to talk most about.
Yes.
And why it's so important and why we love it in our homeschools.
So are we, I should have clarified this, there's story, like reading a story or storytelling, or are we saying both?
Well, I think both are important. I think
yeah,
there's difference there. Do you guys, can I ask you a question?
Car, would you please?
Do you understand the difference there? So she's talking about storytelling, like you telling your own stories.
Or yeah, like
or
not reading,
reading
it.
Stories. And I think both, I was thinking more of reading.
Because yeah, let's dive into both.
I don't do a lot of storytelling on my own. This is something I need to learn and get better at, which is part of the well-educated heart stuff that we're learning right now is telling stories. But I was thinking more of focusing on
reading stories,
learning with stories.
Okay, awesome.
And that's a big part of what we do in our home and our education. I know you do as well, where we use stories to teach our children.
Well, and that's like Charlotte Mason calls it living books.
Exactly.
And they are fun and awesome.
They are. And that's what I try to use the most with my children. And I had this experience a couple weeks ago where my daughter asked me why we weren't doing science anymore. And I was like,
Mama's tired.
We are. Do you not recognize that we are? I'm like, we're reading this book for science and we're reading this book for science. I'll tell you what we're reading. It's the gardening one from the Well-Educated Heart, and we're reading, it's in Mary's Garden or something like that, cutest story. And then we're reading the Burgess Animal Book.
Yeah.
And that's one I revisit with my kids because I love it so much. And that's our science right now for my two youngest. And I was like, do you want to go back to the lessons we were doing? And she's like, oh no, I like this way better. I just didn't realize it was science. And I loved that because I was like, oh, it's working. They're learning these beautiful things and they're not recognizing it as science. They're just learning something cool and enjoying it.
Yeah.
And so it was just this beautiful moment for me to recognize that what we're doing is good and it's okay. And they're still getting it, but they're loving it. And they beg for you to read those books.
Yeah.
Oh, read this one first. And so it's beautiful.
Well, isn't it interesting too with history? Like when you grew up and you had to get tested on history and what year did this war happen and where did it start and who were all these things?
That was why I didn't like history in school because of all the dates you had to remember. I'm like, who cares what year it was? Like, I just want to know about the person, right?
Yes.
He's a cool person. Tell us more about him. But no, memorize the date.
Yes. Well, I think about that right now for February, we've been studying Egypt and we have King Tut and Cleopatra and pyramids and that I can never say his name, David McCauley,
I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I think it's McCalla.
I don't know. Yeah. But it's almost an engineering aspect of pyramids.
He has cool books.
Yeah. Right? And mummification and all this stuff. And like my kids don't even realize they're learning history.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Like, couldn't tell you the date it happened and they couldn't tell you, but they know Cleopatra's Greek. That's always a fun fact. Yeah. They always think that's fun.
And if you want it to be more about timeline, make a timeline and put pictures on there. And then they can get that aspect of like when in history it happened. So you have an idea that, oh, this was way back when this was going on.
To give them perspective.
For perspective. I think that that's good.
But
and
not
that's
being
important.
Tested on that.
But being tested on dates is
a
useless.
Waste of everybody's time.
Anyway, I love this quote by Rudyard Kipling. He says, if history were told in the form of stories, it would never be forgotten. And I love that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's so true that the more that we teach it and tell it in stories, the more we're going to remember and love it.
Or I think inspire us to know more, because yeah. there is a beautiful book, I think The Hawthorne Children, mm-hmm. about the potato famine in Ireland. Of the little yes. kids. I bawled my yes, eyes through that book.
I bawled in that one too. My kids laugh at me all the time about my crying in the end of books. Oh, that was so good.
But like it totally inspired me to go discover Ireland's mm-hmm. history with the potato famine. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what they went through. This is what they endured. Yeah. And so sometimes reading it in a story then gets you excited to go learn more about it.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. So this is from Marlene Peterson's Catch the Vision course, the section on storytelling. She says you can feel the difference between a story and information. I think that's really true.
She does it in a really great way too.
She does. She starts this whole section with this story that, golly, you guys are going to think I cry all day long, but I don't. But this one really made me cry. And it was so beautiful. But it's this story of this girl, and it's her graduation day, and her mom. Yes. She's out with her friends, and she's all upset because all she's getting is like this old set of pearls and a homemade dress. Mm-hmm. And her friends all got these beautiful gifts and parties for graduation. And she's like, why didn't my mom do anything? And while we're on the subject, why isn't my mom pretty like the other moms?
Yes, my mom's not. She something with her
yeah,
face.
Yeah, something around her face, and she limped, and you know, all these little things. And I don't want to tell you the end of the story. I want you to go and find this book because it. I don't know. Should we tell it? Because
yes,
oh, it's because... so beautiful. She finds out. So they live with this man who's mm-hmm. like housing them, and they live in his home.
Oh, yeah,
it's not their
husband
poor,
or anything. Like
they're really poor,
things.
And he's helping care for them. And he comes and he overheard her talking to her friends about how upset she was.
Oh, yes, my mom's so ugly.
Yeah,
she
I wish my mom were pretty like
me.
Your mom and didn't have red splotches on her face. And he says, I want to tell you a story about your mother. And he didn't say it was about your mother. He started just telling the story of this young couple, this beautiful family couple who moved into town, and they were just young and in love. And the husband got in an accident and... help me fill in the details.
I was going to say, I don't know exactly, but there was a fire.
There was a fire.
So there was a baby and there was a fire. And yeah, I think the mom was alone at this point.
The mom was alone.
Died.
Yeah, the husband got sick and died. And so she was alone with the baby and the fire. She was like 3 years old, the little girl. And there was a fire and the mom runs in to save her and saves a set of pearls because it was a treasured item that her husband had given her. And then he finds out that this was her mother. She saved her.
And she was, yes, so she was burned. So her face mm-hmm. had some scarring on
and
it.
And her foot got hurt. And so she had this limp forevermore.
Yes, all to save her daughter's life.
To save her daughter's life. And the daughter finally realizes she's like, how am I so selfish that I wished only that my mom could be more beautiful? And yet here she was. She saved my life and she's done all this for me. And mm-hmm. she's giving me the pearls that my father gave her. And
yes, it was the only thing she could save. Like she could save mm-hmm. me. And these pearls were her most treasured possessions.
Yeah. Anyway, beautiful story. And then she goes in and shares more details about this woman and how it ends up being like part of her family history.
Yeah, it's
Margaret
Eggleston.
Beautiful. Oh my gosh, I loved it so much. Anyway, and then she talks about how if she had just given you the facts about this person, Margaret was born in 1883 and she was from Boston and she's like, you wouldn't have made a connection.
You wouldn't have cared who this lady was.
A bit, but because she taught you about her through this story that was so moving and touching, you loved her mm-hmm. and you wanted to know more about her and you cared so much to go and find more of her books like Megan did. And she has one right here that she's going to read.
I'm not reading it on the podcast.
Not today. No.
I have Fireside Stories for Girls in Their Teens.
Yeah. And this is where that story is in this book. And anyway, so she says you can feel the difference between a story and information, and that makes all the difference in the world when you're teaching kids.
Oh, it is in this book.
Yeah. And then she says that the function of a story is to awaken emotion and to stir feelings. This instills interest and helps kids want to know and learn more. And I love that that's the function, to awaken emotion and stir feelings. Mm-hmm. And it does that. These beautiful stories.
Good stories really do. Mm-hmm. Like when you read an amazing book, like, that is exactly what it does.
It does. Have you ever read a book and you just don't want it to end, and it ends and you're so sad that you don't get to spend time with those characters anymore? You're like, my friends, it's done. Anyway, I love that. And then the last little thing she says is they help us understand things in our hearts that our eyes alone cannot understand. I just think it's a beautiful way to say that.
Yeah. So it was interesting so I'm totally good with reading books. And like sharing those types of story. And as we talked about story, right, like we're researching storytelling, my immediate thoughts were I'm bad at storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what's funny is, so I'm reading this on my bed in my bed, and my 16-year-old's on my bed. She's laughing with me. And I'm reading this book like, oh, I'm the worst storyteller. And she goes to remind us of terrible stories I've told them through their childhood. And like, when I get flustered, I get real weird. And so like, their stories always had the most beautiful maiden in the land was always me. And like, they were always something weird, right? And so she's telling me back all these stories. Mm-hmm. I'm like, remember this one time you did this? And then they were just telling me when my husband and I were out of town, I left a message, because I would do nighttime raps too, of a nighttime rap. Like, just so you don't get lonely, here's a nighttime rap. So here I am thinking like, well, I'll never be as beautiful at storytelling as Margaret or creating
all these
things.
You do it in your way though.
So I love this in the storytelling book in, what is it? Libraries of Hope from Well Educated Heart. But if one have neither natural adaptation nor experience, still I say, tell the stories a thousand times, tell the stories. You have no cold, unsympathetic audience to deal with. The child is helpful, receptive, warm, eager, friendly. His wholehearted interest, his surprise, admiration, and wise comment will spur you on to greater efforts. And when the story is concluded, you will wonder which of you has been the greater gainer.
Oh, I love that so much.
That's when I think about that, like, so here I've told these weird stories of being the fairest maiden in all the land, and the them being whatever, like, include a monkey. I'm like, okay, there was a monkey, right? And like all these things, like, your kids just are excited for you to be there with them.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to keep going, but like,
sorry,
interject.
I'll interject for a second. My brother, did I share this story?
No, you didn't.
Okay. My brother has little twin boys who I think they're 6 now. They're the cutest little twins. And he, for a long time now, has been just telling them made up bedtime stories that he just creates. And he calls them The Adventures of Roddy and Hudson.
That's
their
so
names.
Cute.
And it's the cutest thing. And I was doing it for so long. And finally, his kids were like, Dad, you need to save these. These are great. And so he started recording them. And then his older daughter is helping him write them. And they want to publish them. Maybe even just for their own sake, mm-hmm. maybe to publish. I don't know. He's not sure yet, but he wants to do that with his voice. And he sent us a couple of the audios of them, and they were just the most fun things. And these two little twin boys go on their adventures together, and he shares the whole story. And the fun part of listening to the audio is, you know, you hear his voice and their giggles in the background as they're just loving and enjoying the story that their dad's telling and how much fun they're having. And I love that it's like your audience doesn't matter. Your children mm-hmm. will eat up whatever you feed them. And I think that that's so true, because your kids love you so much that no matter what you're giving them, it will thrill them and just bring so much joy to them. And they're going to have such fond memories of those times together, of their dad, you know, making up these silly stories about them as yeah. they grew up together.
So it's been interesting with homeschool. I've been trying to prep more so I could just tell the story versus always having to read it right then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, reading right then has served its purpose, but for one of my darlings, it is not. They are like, they cannot take it
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this was interesting, because I'm like, why? We have all these amazing, beautiful living books. Like, why can't I just do it this way? And you totally can.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just something that I'm working on for myself. So I'm still doing read aloud. We're still reading beautiful picture books and all these stories. But like, when we're learning about Egypt, I will have pre-read it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I can just tell you about Cleopatra.
Oh, that's cool.
Versus like opening up a textbook.
I like that.
Same with like birds. I'll read something about mm-hmm. it before. I'm like, did you guys know that?
That's cool.
So anyways.
And it makes it so much more personal and engaging.
Well, that's what
yeah,
I like from
I love
this.
That.
So this is also from the storytelling book. With few exceptions, children listen twice as eagerly to a story told to one read. And it talks about, because when you have a book, that you can't really have you can't pull in an audience. You can't adapt. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, well, once upon a time, there were 3 bears and.
Because well, you're reading it and you don't know what's coming next.
Yes, but like with a story, I'm like, they're into this. Go yeah. down this way. They don't love it. Abort. Go this
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
Right? And like your facial expressions, it said, it is the filter of personality.
I love that.
Right? And then for this reason, a story told is more spontaneous than one read, however well read. The storyteller is bound by nothing. So there can be singing and dancing. And I even laugh about in one of our homeschool co-op classes, I did the Knights of Freedom class. I was the helper. And she had me do Survival Minute, like, which was exciting. And I would just pre-read it. And one was like, how to get out of a car, like if your car is going underwater. And I could act it out.
Oh, funny.
Because I don't think you had a kid in the class at the time.
Mm-mm.
But like, I taught him how to birth a baby. I didn't act that one out. But like, I taught him like all these crazy things. And I was up on a desk and I was loud and I was dramatic and I was animated. And it was like, it's been super memorable. Like, remember the time? I'm like, yes, and you're welcome. And so I thought, why have I not included this into my homeschool?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm starting simple. So
right.
For Egypt,
that's so cool.
I'm going to pre-read a story the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And like sometimes for the nights of freedom class, I pre-read like as I'm walking into the mm-hmm. thing. So it's not like
that's so
I
beautiful.
Did this amazing thing. And you can totally, if that speaks to you.
Yeah, I love that.
Practice it.
But I just want to share one more little story. My daughter had to have some pretty intense dental work this last week. And it's my youngest, and she's had, unfortunately, a lot of dental work done in her little few years. And had a very bad previous experience at her past dentist where she was kicking and screaming and being held down. So we were putting her under for this one so that she wouldn't have that kind of terrible experience. And I went to a new dentist. So just change of scenery, everything. So we go in for the anesthesiologist, and the dentist ahead of time had told me how awesome he was. And they're like, oh, we love him. He's the best.
Could you try again?
Oh, Siri.
I'm sorry. My watch is talking to me. Anyway, so we go in and he's talking to she's 7 years old and she's nervous and she's laying on this chair and he's like, I'm going to, you know, just put this mask on you and be really gentle. And he puts it on and she starts telling her story about Elsa and Anna and this whole cute little story. And it's going to a party and she gets to pick the color of the dress and, you know, all these things. And she's like playing along because she's like, oh, this is fun. I love Elsa and Anna. And he gets to the part where they're going to blow out the birthday candles on the cake. And he's like, all right. There's 12 candles. Can you count to 12 with me? And as she's counting, he's just slowly dialing it up so that she's counting down and he knows when she's asleep. And it was the cutest and most beautiful moment that I've ever had at a doctor's office, like anything. I'm like, this is so impressive. And I was just so touched that he took the time to care so much about this little girl and her fears to make it a safe place for her. And it's beautiful that a story could do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just this simple little story that he made up on the spot. Like you could tell he was just like, oh, and then this, and you know, it was silly and fun. And afterwards I walked out and I said to the dentist how impressed I was. And he's like, yeah, he's my favorite. He does such a good job. And I like to stay and listen to all of his stories because they just keep getting better. And it was just beautiful. I loved his caring, thoughtful manner in doing that. And I think that stories can just do such beautiful things for us. And I love in the Well-Educated Heart how she just talks about like how, you know, we're warming our hearts and we're changing lives through these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she's doing through her whole program is
helping, the stories.
Helping teach us as moms to be able to do that to help warm a next generation hearts.
And isn't it interesting, Ethan, my oldest, tells little kids stories all mm-hmm. the times. And if you've ever seen him at a park, little kids
He's
will
so
gravitate
kids.
Towards him.
He's so great. Yeah.
They want to hear these wild stories.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So it's super fun. We would all drive in the big old van. Like he'd sit in the back with all the little kids around him so mm-hmm. that he could tell them stories
That's
as we drove.
So good daddy.
Yeah. So he'll be single. I mean, he is single. He's just on his mission right now. So hit him up in a couple years.
Ladies. Anyway, we love storytelling and we see the value of it and we hope that this has helped you see that as well.
Yes.
And thank you so much for tuning in this week.
Don't forget to give us a 5-star review and we will randomly be giving prizes away still. So
yay, yay. Have a good one. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.